Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Very polyrhythmic.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm Matt Donnelly. We are broadcasting from Show Creator Studios here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And on the program today, we have
Paul Mattingly.
Co-host of Ice Cream Social, Paul Mattingly, is here, and that's because we are broadcasting live from Scoop Fest 2018. Scoop Invasion, here he is, preaching the love, Penn Jillette.
Yeah! Preaching love. My allergies have gotten to me a little bit. You know what I mean?
Allergies
got me a little bit stuffed up.
It's a tough week.
It's a tough week for allergies. It's a tough week for allergies.
I'm on green tea myself.
Was that green tea? Yeah. That help your allergies?
No. I just clogged my throat a little.
Yeah, it is. I went up to Spokane, which I would not say on stage the whole time I was on stage. Even though I was in Spokane, I wouldn't say Spokane because I'm self-conscious about my pronunciation of it. Is that right? Because it always seems like people that live in places like Spokane.
Are you saying, Penn, that you have trouble with the Spokane word?
Great to have him on the show, wasn't it?
That's great.
Yeah, really nice to have him there. Very nice.
Penn just took Paul's mic away and kicked him off stage. So.
Because those places up there, like I'm never sure you're pronouncing them right. Is that right. What you say? Anybody from Spokane? How do you say it? I have it right. Good. But I was afraid on stage, because here there's a few hundred people, but there was a few thousand, and they were all from that area. And I thought, boy, if I say this wrong, they could just come at me. I was in Alaska. No, not Alaska. I was up in...
It's pronounced Alaska.
Someplace. What's that?
It's pronounced Alaska.
Oregon is one you have to worry about, right?
How that one you can't. You go to, if you say Oregon, they hate you.
Right.
And you're like, no, I got you. Oregon. And they're like, no, that's not it either.
But I made the mistake of bringing out, during Selfish, we brought out a tilapia. And got huge boos from the audience.
Wow.
Because they have their own fish up there.
Yeah.
And they don't need no African imported fish.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I got in the middle of this trade war. But just because we know how to do the trick with a tilapia.
That's all.
That's the only reason. If we'd known better. And the fact that it was also frozen really chapped their asses. Oh.
I think a lot of up-and-coming entertainers don't realize how much they should be cognizant of the gross domestic product of each state when they go to a show.
You don't want to do anything that gets you off salmon at all when you're in the Northwest.
Yeah.
They care about that a lot. So we're just up in Spokane, and I was afraid to say it the whole time we were up there.
Okay.
But I was up there, and it's amazing because I'm in a casino that allows smoking. So it is just a smoke-filled casino, which I did not leave the whole time. All my allergies, all perfect, all better.
Really?
I come to Vegas, and that cactus cum in the air just takes me right down.
Really?
Right away. I land, I walk out, and I love getting back to Vegas because you have the warm breath of Satan, and you feel that. You know, when Teller and I were first driving across the country, we were just carny trash, driving across the country in our Datsun 210 station wagon with all the props in the back. We got into Nevada in the summer, and we've been driving in our little air-conditioned car wherever from the last gas station, right? So whatever, 3 or 4 hours. And we got out the gas station. We opened the door. It was our first time that we'd been summer in the Mojave. And we opened up the doors, and we stood there. It was about 118 degrees, 117 degrees, and Teller and I just laughed. We were just laughing. And Teller just said, the warm breath of Satan. And we just stood there in the heat and laughed. When you first move to Vegas, you have that first day, it is just pure comedy.
Yes.
And I came back in, and right away I start sneezing. I start having all sorts of trouble, which is funny because I started out lying about my allergies to cover the fact that I was crying and then turned into a real story about allergies, which is actually true and much less interesting. Reddy Rich has reported last week on the big podcast, we talked about these fly fishing bookends.
Yes.
Well, several people tried to go to the store, and it was instantly gone because a person from, I believe, New Jersey, I think a guy from New Jersey, called in. So I didn't even think that was a possibility, but I didn't say you couldn't. So he called in. He said, you have these bookends that Penn brought up and didn't buy. He said, yeah. He said, send them to me. And then he
Son
also
of a bitch.
He sent me a letter that said, and I assume you'll also cover postage. So I was I had to say that I had been gotten fair and square.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to be very careful when you offer to give money on a podcast what exactly you're going to do.
Yeah.
Because you can end up in big trouble.
Thank goodness that wasn't someone from Israel who did it, then shipping would be much more complicated.
It would
and expensive.
Be. It would be.
So you got that going for you.
I do. I do. So Jersey's just as bad.
Yeah, but that's a nice Jersey move, I think.
Yeah.
It's like it was an initial fuck you to do it over the phone. And then to fuck you twice by making you pay for shipping.
Yeah.
It's very Jersey.
Very
I like
Jersey.
It
was pure Jersey. Even if he wasn't from Jersey, it was pure Jersey.
And if you wouldn't, and if you didn't pay for it, you would have woken up with a Taylor ham in your bed.
Dun, dun, dun.
They also have Scrapple. Well, Scrapple's more Philly, right?
Scrapple's more Philly, yeah.
Also, there was a guy, and I should know this guy because he was a big, he helped us out a lot with Director's Cut. A guy couldn't be after the show. And I couldn't say no to this. He said to me, if he lost 300 pounds by next year at that date, which I guess was October 11th or 12th, that would I teach him a magic trick?
Wow.
He wanted that to be his motivation. He had Presto in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He was ready to go. He was ready to lose all the weight. And he decided that he wanted to have some sort of light at the end of that tunnel.
Sure. Incentive.
I thought 300 pounds in 1 year was a little bit ambitious.
Yeah.
So I don't know what magic. I guess if he's going to really be able to do that, I should teach him the fucking bullet catch. You know I mean? The only problem being I'm not sure I remember how to do it. Because that was a tough trick. We haven't done it for years and years and years.
You haven't done it for years?
Not for many. One of the reasons is that even though fewer people are dying from gun violence in the U.S. than at the time we started doing the trick, it's become there's a virtue signaling thing to think that you think it's bad that people get shot with guns, which I believe that everybody believes that's bad. But some people have to demonstrate it, and they talk to me afterwards, and they make me feel sad. We've written so much goddamn material. We have, like, now Penn and Teller have something like 6 hours of material ready to go.
Well, we
like to do the
newer
stuff.
We were discussing this with Matt King when he was on, and he is...
He has almost an hour of good stuff.
Right. That's
really,
it.
Very close.
That's it.
Very close.
He feels,
you watch the show for... he's like, he does an hour and 20 minutes, and I would say, really, about 45 are excellent. Excellent.
Yes. Well, that was pretty much his sentiment. He was like, Penn and Teller shame me every time I go see their show. They have hours of new material, whereas I am doing the same routine that I have been doing for nigh on 30 years.
Yeah, but it's so good.
What's interesting is that
he's incredible.
He also...
I tried to say that with as little enthusiasm I possibly could. Oh, it's very good. He looks good in that suit, doesn't he? No, Matt King, I believe, is the best. Although he's getting a run for his money. I've always just said categorically, Matt King is the best comedy magician in the world. And now our buddy Piff is nipping at his heels.
Sure.
If dragons do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Breathing at his heels.
But he, you know, his method, because he doesn't like to take stuff out, and of course all the stuff interweaves, so he says he shortens tricks instead of eliminates them, and mm-hmm. he adds new stuff to it. It'd be really funny if you guys had to do the same thing. Every trick you do is like a minute. By the time the bullet catch can come around, be like, bang, bang.
Yeah, just shorten it. Don't give people time to realize.
Well, you know, we were doing that
Trust me,
for a
your
while.
Initials are on the bullet. Anyways.
Cow.
My partner, Teller.
We did a sawing in half where we did, which I think is one of the rather good sawing of a human being in halves.
Yes.
Which had the double one where we did a real trick, then we exposed that trick and then saw it again. And it was incredible R&D. It was so much money. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars working on that. I guess he worked on it 3 or 4 years. And we wanted to get it in the show. And the first time we ran through it in rehearsal, Johnny put a stop, or I guess Bert put a stopwatch on it and said, you know, 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Johnny said, anyone else in show business, if they worked that hard on a trick, they would find a way for it to be the whole second half of the show. But we are now very aware. We have two things to – by the way, I can now say this. I hinted at it. Anyone that listens to this show knows what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But it's now official. We are doing another season of Fool Us. So that was an official. Thank you. I knew about it before, but I wasn't supposed to say it. But I said it so many times anyway. When you sign a non-disclosure agreement with me, it means jack shit. I just say whatever pops into my head. But that's now true. And so the bits that close Fool Us, they like to be about 7 minutes. 8 minutes, what they like for our closers.
When you find out you're renewed, the private jet come in from CW, take you guys up, where you guys land? Like where? Like what beach do they take you to?
I get told on the phone by someone that says, you know, they could still change their minds on this, but it looks like they'll probably do another season. And I go, well, that's good, right? And he goes, yeah, but he's not sure. That's what we have. And then he says, you want to call Teller? And I go, oh, boy, yeah, sure. So I call Teller and go, looks like we're doing another season. And he goes, oh, okay, we have the material. We won't be okay. The celebration is I get to hear 15 seconds of Teller flapping.
It's very like Seinfeld and Larry David. Like Larry David, whenever he finished a season of any television show, said, that's it, we're done. We can't do another one. And he'd be like, so tell him no. And he'd just leave and be like, we can't do it. And then they go, we're renewed. He's like, okay, let's get back to work. But Larry David's notorious for being like, there's no way we can do another season. We got to stop.
Yeah, you don't think you have any material. Then we start digging stuff out. So there'll be new stuff going in the show. I can also announce this. I also said this, and I shouldn't have. We are doing Prince Charles' 70th birthday party.
Whoa.
We are now birthday party magicians.
When's next weekend?
It is a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow because we rehearse all day Sunday, then we do the show on Monday.
Is he officially the oldest prince?
Well, thanks to fentanyl.
Right?
I believe so.
Right? Yeah.
Don't you fucking groan at that.
Come on. That was good.
Look.
That was fucking solid.
If that was an ICS, you guys would be fucking making cartoons and memes or whatever about that fucking shit. The people at home listen can groan, but you motherfuckers, I know you.
You know,
Mr. ICS Paul would just be Prince on the plane about to die for the next half hour.
Yeah. That was that close, but I held back.
But yeah, I believe that Prince Charles, and this is a crazy thing to say, and it's probably not true, but it sure seems when you're with him, he has the worst job in the world. He's dressed in that suit, and he's talking to people he does not care about, ever. And when you're talking to him, you go, man, I can be saying anything now, and I'll get the exact same expression, same suit, same everything.
Yeah.
Hello, nice to see you.
And he's been stuck for all those years doing the job he hates where his mom has the job he wants.
I guess so, yeah.
Right?
Just to be clear, Paul, you get paid almost minimum wage to bring people through a fake zombie experience on Fremont Street.
Almost.
Switch places with Prince Charles or no?
No.
There you go.
Because British food, right?
But also your table manners have to be impeccable.
Right. Yeah.
Everything has to be right.
Yeah,
and then people are. And I was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place the last time I went to Buckingham Palace to have supper with him. It wasn't just the two of us, but I was sitting across from him.
Oh, wow.
I was his major companion.
Yeah, point of focus.
Yeah, and there were like maybe 50 people in the room. And Eric Idle had said to me, ask that motherfucker why he pulled out of our Monty Python show. And then the person in charge of protocol said, you don't say anything to Prince Charles that is in any way contentious. There's never any chance.
Right.
So I said to him, because it wasn't me saying it, I said, Your Royal Highness, my friend Eric Idle wants to know why the fuck you pulled out of the Monty Python. Because it wasn't me saying it.
No.
Nothing contentious
you're,
there.
You're within protocol.
And I quote.
I was pretty surprised because Prince Charles talked to me. He just talked to me. He went, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done it, right? I probably not right for what I do. It probably the wrong tone, right? So he throws it back to me. Like all of a sudden, I'm in charge of the royalty.
Which is royal speak for why don't you go fuck yourself? Like, what he's saying is like, do you know how to do my job, hotshot? Do you and Eric, I don't know how to be Prince of fucking England? Is that what's going on over there? How's your steak? How's your free meal?
I think that was, he is a member of the Magic Circle.
He is.
Yeah, and we are not.
Because you guys expose secrets.
Yes, but he was allowed in with he did a version of the Cups and Balls.
Does he really? Yeah,
but you know something?
Doesn't Camilla have all those?
What's that?
Doesn't Camilla have all those?
She has both Cups and Balls.
And we went on stage and did the Cups and Balls for him at a little shindig. And he's actually...
And were you worried if he was going to like crack his knuckles and be like, let me show you how it's done? You leave those alone.
Allow me to show you royal Cups and Balls. It's a little different.
Is that your Prince Charles?
This is my Prince Charles.
The cup is look, no longer...
It's funny. He does the voice very differently.
Yeah, we're he's a bit out of practice with it, honestly. It's been a minute since he's done it. Yeah.
Is that precisely the same as your Mick Jagger?
No, it's not as precisely. It's pretty close, though. It's not far off. Yeah. But Mick Jagger's Cups and Balls are huge. Fucking huge. Half the stage. Half the goddamn stage. Yeah.
So we then just talked about comedy. He's a comedy fan. And he talked about how much he loved Monty Python and how he thought it was a good idea but thought it would be distracting because of the security going in and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's only when we don't like someone in office that we figure out these things. But when officials show up somewhere, it costs a shitload of money to do any of that.
Mm. Well, I remember they used to always do the secret policeman's ball, and the royals were always in attendance to that. Yeah. But I guess it's a difference in being in attendance and being a participant. Like, there's a line there.
Well, we were going to do a card trick with him.
Right.
And he was going to have the punchline of the card trick, and we changed his mind.
Yeah.
And he's now going to be, I'll tell you this, it's going to be Martin Freeman.
Oh.
Martin Ooh. Freeman will be working with
Very
us.
Cool.
On this, and we'll be doing a card trick with Martin.
You're kind of cool with that, right?
I'm kind of cool with that. I think he's really, really terrific.
Yeah.
I think he's always good.
Yeah, Sherlock. I know things are really tough, Sherlock. It's like this. You know, I used to be. You know, what I did before this. I was orbit for a little bit. You know.
Mick Jagger talking to Martin Freeman?
That's right.
I thought it was Mick Jagger doing his Martin Freeman impersonation.
That was. Penn's right. That was Mick Jagger's Martin Freeman.
So we'll be going. I leave for jolly old England on Thursday.
Okay.
And I'll be flying over, and then we'll do the shindig for the prince. Do the shindig for the prince.
Very cool.
Now, and then we come back. How many times have you hung out with this prince now?
Well, the first time it was that, it's that story that, have I told the story on here that Stephen Fry tells about me making fun of me? Yeah, I've told it, yeah. But that was the first time when we were with Fry and Laurie. And that was the Prince's Trust in the 90s. And then there was, I think, one other time, and then last time at Buckingham Palace.
So this is your fourth time hanging out with Prince Charles?
Yeah, we'll be on stage with Prince Charles.
I think this blue-collar magician thing is getting a little... When you hang out with the Prince of England four times, I think you're not really... Like, you're kind of getting Springsteen-like in your voice of the common man.
Yeah, like that. Can we... I don't think we should pay the unions a full amount. Let's see.
Yeah. I live on a farm. 1, 2, 3, 4 acres.
Of orchids.
I can pay farmers' taxes on all my millions.
Two times. You know, someone asked, why, you know, I used to just do that thing about one of my favorite moments of Springsteen. I used to do this all the time, was when he says, which I think is one of the sexiest moments ever, "I want to die with you, Wendy, on the street tonight in an everlasting kiss." That's what Springsteen does.
Well, if you're going to do a kiss that lasts forever, you're going to clear the throat. Get ready. Make sure you're prepped.
It's not clear when the kiss comes in the chronology of that. That's what always bothered me about it. "I want to die with you, Wendy, on the street tonight in an everlasting kiss."
How many women here would still do it? Would still kiss Springsteen? Yeah, a lot of hands. Guys' hands just went up.
How many men?
I should have.
I don't think gender matters.
I don't think gender matters. It's true.
I would kiss Springsteen in a minute, in a second. Did you see? People don't know this, but we did a show last week that we haven't run yet. It'll be run actually while I'm in England with Robert Klein.
Yes, that was awesome.
Robert, did you see the TMZ thing with Robert Klein?
I did not.
He has just come out of a show. And some Trump supporters come up to him. And Robert Klein decides, for no reason whatsoever, to just tell the truth and engage with them and talk with them. And it was really an important lesson to me that I'm not sure I've learned.
Yeah.
But it was an important lesson. You know, there's this dipshit. I'm not going to say his name. But a dipshit that during the atheist rally, preacher, ambushed me with his cameras. And kept asking me questions, doing all sorts of shit. And then he did very unethical stuff, which is he asked me at the time when he brought the cameras up, may I have permission to film you? And I said, no. He said, can I use this in the movie? I said, no. He said, would you debate me sometime? I said, no. He said, well, I'd like to have you on screen with me. I said, no. He then shot me anyway. Then he got in touch with our office and said, we said, no. Then he got in touch with me through Twitter, and I said, no. And then he took all the Twitter answers and all the stuff Glenn said, put it in his movie, and then barely blurred my face out, took what I was doing out of context and did that whole thing, you know?
Oof.
Now, when that stuff happens, and TMZ gets a moment with me or something, I get really sad and freaked out, you know, when people react to things I say in interviews. And I watched that Robert Klein thing, and I thought that if it were me, I would be really upset, and I'd be talking to Glenn all the time, and do I have to do something about this? Do I have to take care of it? Do I have to fix it? Do I have to do something? And I watched Robert Klein do it and said, this is perfect. Nobody with a brain in their head, even if you're a Trump supporter, thinks that what he said was out of line. He is articulate. He is passionate. He is angry, but he's articulate. He's not out of his mind. He's not crazy. He's not drunk. He's not violent. He's just stating his opinion. And I watched that Robert Klein thing and just said, please, please, please let me try to remember. Because I'm ambushed now and again by Christians, and they ask me a question and get a shot of it, and I'm always afraid I'm coming off badly or I'm not quite kind enough. But the problem is, if you've told somebody you don't want to be in their movie, and if they're filming and if they keep asking you questions, it seems like you have to at some point be a little short with them. Mm. Otherwise, you have to at some point go, no, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right.
And when you say, no, I'm not talking to you anymore, it says, oh, he doesn't want to talk to me.
Right.
And I would like to live in a world where people think, oh, Penn will talk to anybody anytime, but it can't be true.
No.
So watching the Robert Klein thing, if you watch it on TMZ, he acquits himself beautifully. He is ambushed. It's someone, you know, it's TMZ shooting when he doesn't want them shooting. It's people yelling rude things. And he just says that he's upset about colluding with Russia, which I think he's not the only one.
Well,
I've heard other people say they're upset with the president having Russia involved in our elections.
Well, I'll say, just speaking for the Scoops in general, I think Dragon is really upset with the collusion with Russia.
So you said you're preparing for ambushes. Were you preparing for an ambush of inside jokes that you don't understand?
There was a newsletter
yeah.
in the 70s that I either subscribed to or made up.
Well, now, made up as in, like, you envisioned you received it, or you actually created it?
Did not create it. Envisioned I received
wow.
it.
Wow. Okay. That's even more interesting.
Because I've talked to people about... I've taught people... Because when I was in the 70s, I was told by the subgenius... Anybody know the subgenius? Yeah. Yeah, subgenius. I was told by the subgenius people... Bob. Yeah, Bob Dobbs. And... two can play this game.
Yeah. I doff my cap.
Anybody got slack here? Anybody get slack? See? Ha ha, fuck you. I was told...
Dragon.
I was told by the subgenius people, when I met them later, that they believed I was the only one who paid my dues and paid for the subscription every time they asked for the entire, 6 years. And that includes all the other people who were Paul Rubens, Mark Mothersbaugh, all these people, what's his name, Simpsons, Matt Groening. Yeah. All those guys were all subscribers, but they didn't keep up on their dues the way I did. They said every time they said that's $5 for the past 6 months, they get a check within 2 days. But I subscribed to a lot of fanzines. I loved fanzines. I got Duplex Planet with our buddy David Greenberger. I had Subgenius. And then there was a few art postcard chainmail club where you would send postcards to people on the top of the list, and then you'd get thousands of postcards from people you didn't know. Crazy stuff. Because I thought that was a real important art movement that was happening in the 70s with fanzines.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seemed really important to me. And I have been able to find a copy of it, and no one else has heard of it. But I remember reading a magazine that may have not existed.
Okay.
That was called Inside Jokes, and the tagline was "No chance of you understanding." And then it would be just articles that said something like, "The pepperoni is in the closet." There'd be a full stop. Something else would go, "Maybe these fish we talked to the other day were agents." And I remember loving it more than anything in the world. And I realized that what I love about In Jokes is getting it or being part of the inside is not part of my enjoyment at all.
Right.
I just like the fact that there's a certain kind of sound that an In Joke gets that's just really, really terrific.
Yeah.
I just really love it. So if that didn't happen, I think that's, it really should. Jokes you can't possibly get. The whole thing, whole punchline, little in jokes. I like that.
That would be cool. There's a great Twitter feed that I follow called Kids Write Jokes.
Uh-huh.
And it's children just coming to grasps with how a joke is constructed. So it's odd and mostly nonsensical,
mm-hmm.
but that makes it beautiful.
Yeah.
And funnier than any well-constructed joke has any right to be.
Yeah, Eddie really Gordesky said on the Letterman Show, when he wrote on the Letterman Show, they used to have this phrase they used, which I love, which is, well, it's joke-like in nature.
There you go. That's it.
Had the right rhythm, right everything. People would turn it in and they'd look at it and go, well, you know, it's joke-like in nature, except for the lack of humor.
Yeah, it's in the right phylum and species here, but this is not a joke.
Just not doing it. Not I also had another thing happen on stage in Spokane, which was I had, you know, I do the trust thing where I have people, I memorize a deck of cards, half a deck of cards, and then know which side of it's on. And I go through and I recall people to make decisions. Like, what suit do you want?
Yeah.
And I recall the people's names that have been used earlier in the show. So that night for the Selfish, we had a guy named Mike. Okay? So I say, should we want spades or hearts? Mike? And there's, 3,000 people. And it's totally dark in the auditorium. And I'm pointing in the general direction where I thought Mike was. And four people went... Spades! In unison.
Same answer.
What? Yeah.
So first I said, wait a minute. Couldn't you tell from context that I meant the mic was up here before? I wasn't... Wait a minute. Did every mic in the room just say spades? In unison? Everybody named Mike said spades? And I went, this is amazing. This is more amazing than the trick I was planning on doing. There's some sort of neuro-linguistic programming going on here that at this exact place in this Penn & Teller show tonight, every single person named Mike feels compelled to yell out spades when I say,
Mike,
yeah. And it was just a remarkable experience. And then I had another moment where I have to have people, and I wanted to just say, people don't always say spades. It really is a free choice. It's not a magician's choice. It's not a force. They really do have a choice. But these people were compelled. The power of God compelled them to yell out spades. And then it came to another place in the show, and we had a child on stage.
God was like, Hurricane Schmurricane. I got four guys I got to say the same thing right now. Fuck with that.
But then it happened again.
What?
Which is astonishing. I come to another place where I say, do you want me to mention name the cards up or down, from ace to king or king to ace? And I said, I forgot the person's name now, but it was like Amber. I said, Amber, up or down? And four people went up, right in unison. Four voices that sound like they could be named Amber. And I said, do I now have this weird power? Being able to get a binary choice from people with one name to all yell it at once.
I guess, but spade is like a four-way.
No, I gave them hearts or spades.
Oh, okay.
We'd already narrowed it down more than that. We could try this. We'll try to experiment.
I love science.
Please. Here we go. For science.
Now, I don't know what your names are. I don't know where you are, but I'm going to go with some common names. I'll give you a choice, okay? I'm going to give you television or radio. Television or radio. Steve.
No.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi? Coke or Pepsi? Dave.
Coke.
Oh! But that's not a choice.
Oh, that's right.
That's not a choice.
Okay, it should be
Coke.
Should be.
Coke or unwanted advance on your penis.
There you go.
Now let's do ones that don't have any sort of market research. 23 or 22? Just two numbers.
Right.
23 or 22? Lisa. No Lisas.
Data.
Matt, we really
got to
work on our leasing. We got to get some Lisas in here.
22 or 23? Debbie.
22.
One person in unison. How did it happen?
I guess I don't know. I don't know what common names are for.
Go. I would say I don't want to do it now because they'll prep.
Yes. 17 or 18, Jennifer.
18.
Okay. Those good. Close. Those two 18s.
Okay. I think we're done with this particular experiment.
Well, where's our control group?
That's a tough one. Here's the question I had.
Yeah.
They did this study that is a complete robot killer. You know, if you ever need to kill a robot.
Also, just a real quick on that one. We are at a podcast festival trying to call out women's names.
Oh, yeah.
So.
There was a study that is a robot killer that says that placebos work even if the subjects know they're placebos. Okay, first of all, that makes me crazy. Second of all, I then wondered, what was the control group on that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that people that didn't receive anything?
Maybe.
I'm not going to give you anything today. Tell me how it affects you. Let me know in 4 to 6 hours how you feel after this nothing.
Now, the other group, we're going to give you something that is nothing, but it's something you can swallow.
Tell me how you feel.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Probably demonstrably better, because at least you got something.
That's right.
So no wonder that experiment worked.
It still troubles me tremendously.
It's weird.
That placebo's working or you don't know. Because it should be. The whole idea of placebo was they're supposed to fool you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's the greatest magic trick medicine ever pulled.
Are you doing like
Like a movie
Usual
preview?
Usual Suspects?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's also the original making the people believe the devil doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Well, he's been successful with me.
Yeah. This
summer.
The devil
convinced me of that. I wonder if I'm going to be able to read this. I'm going to try. U.S. Postal Service is an important tool for any business. Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. You don't know this. You don't do any of the work, right? But you know you'd use Stamps.com.
Yeah. I have seen envelopes being processed from time to time.
And you know it's Stamps.com.
I know, yeah, Stamps.com. Yeah,
it's very, very good. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Or in your case, using someone else's.
Yeah.
They'll send you a digital scale, automatically calculates exact postage for someone else to pay.
Yeah.
Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Now, isn't it funny that I'm busting Paul for this when I have never done anything? I don't mean that to do with postage. I mean anything. Like the guy with the placebo.
Right.
Penn's going to do nothing
for
43 years.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, not doing anything. I feel good. Right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special office that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in
Penn.
That's Stamps.com. Enter
Penn.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ready Rich. Pluto TV is a leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never even asks for a credit card. That's the coolest thing. You don't even need to sign up to watch free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream.
Or for science sake, you can download it to your nothing.
Yes.
A Plutocebo?
A Plutocebo.
Look at that. You lost the mic with a pun and you got it back with a pun.
Plutocebo, I like. You know why? Because it's not close enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's not a very... It's not really a homophone at all.
Not at all.
No. If you're looking to buy a car, and who isn't, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, especially me. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introduce True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories. Before you even get to the dealership, True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Ready, Rich? Since you're right here, talk to us about alligators and crocodiles. Do you have a microphone?
I do.
Okay. In his he always has one in his back pocket.
How about that? So we got a lot of letters this week.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about alligators and crocodiles.
Yes.
And how you tell the difference.
Yes.
You said something about the snout.
It's the snout, the square snout versus the rounded snout, and whether the teeth are on the side sticking out. That's the difference.
I believe everybody that wrote to us the same information. It has nothing to do with the snout. It has nothing to do with the teeth. It has nothing to do with the eyes, like Paul is saying.
Oh, I thought it was the eyes.
It's all...
I just think it'd be great on a podcast to keep giving visual cues.
You were pointing to your ass.
I was. That alligator ass, no mistaking it.
Alligator ass or the crocodunk, which is it?
My dunk-a-dunk and the...
My crocodunk and my alligator ass. That's how you know.
Paul's Bayou Christmas album.
If you're going to see it in a while, it's a croc. And if you're going to see it later... Apparently, it's an alligator. According to everybody who listens to our show.
Oh,
We got a really nice letter from Andrew Workman. I want to say fuck you. Okay, and the several listeners. No, the Andrew Workman points out that I was talking about a police escort as having a cherry top.
Yeah.
And he says that doesn't mean anything in the UK. We call it flashing blues or ninas, as that's the sound it makes. Now, Andrew Workman, if you were able to figure it out, someone else in England was too.
Right.
Yeah.
My nina passed away so many years ago. So miss her.
Your
miss
grandmother her. Was a police car?
Yeah. Yep. She worked hard every day of her life, yeah, picking up criminals and knitting quilts. Yeah.
Tough.
Nino,
we miss. She's
Nino,
Nino, Nino.
But also, it wasn't making the Nina noise at that time.
Also, in England, do you name other things after the noises they make?
Well, I was just grinding slang? Some coffee in my.
Good morning. You want some?
I like a little milk with my.
Yeah, don't mind me. I just got back from the. Oh, hello. Can I help you? What's your idea? Boy, I don't got nothing over here. I'll go walk over there. Bing, bing, wah, whoosh, whoosh.
We had a really
that
nice.
That was definitely Jagger doing Prince Charles.
Yeah. You got it. You got it.
And by doing.
Putting balls in the cup.
Talk about bumming our shit.
Uh-oh.
We talked about jury nullification.
Oh,
as
yes.
As isn't this a really nice thing, and people can actually, the voice of the people. And then someone wrote a whole note that could have had, he could have just done it in two words. He could have bummed our shit in two words.
Yeah.
We took a whole paragraph to do it. Emmett Till.
Yes.
Emmett Till, African-American case, horrific case, found accused, horrible thing. Jury nullification can also be a terrible, terrible, sad, awful thing. And thanks a lot, Jason Becker, for bumming our shit.
Yeah. With facts.
But I really wanted to get to this thing. A guy, Mike Walterich. I want to apologize to Mike Walterich because Mike Walterich fell into the Ready Rich hole.
Yes. Okay.
When people write to questionpen@gmail.com.
Yep.
They can sometimes end up in an exchange with Ready Rich. They write to me, but they end up falling into a mentally ill hole. I'm trying to be polite. But they end up talking to a crazy person. So this guy wrote in just to make very clear that when I talk about Mr. Jones, the song
Yes,
Mr.
this
Jones,
person took umbrage with your interpretation to the lyrics of Mr. Jones.
Well, because I said it wrong.
Okay.
I agree 100% with what this person said.
Okay.
I just said it wrong. When he says we both want to be big, big stars, we get different reasons for that. The protagonist, the narrator of that song, I guess I made it sound like I believe that person was saying my reasons are celebrity for the sake of celebrity, but they really aren't. I've always believed that song meant that my reasons for wanting to be a celebrity are different than just being a celebrity. Not someone that just wants a show in Vegas, but someone that actually wants to do their particular show in Vegas. So this person was completely 100% right. He says he tends to agree with me 90% of the time. In this case, he disagreed because I was wrong, which is a fine time to disagree with me. So he misunderstood my meaning, I think because my meaning wasn't clear. Okay? But then he fell into the Ready Rich hole, didn't he? So he wrote this very nice note. I hope you'll – he sent us, him doing a version of the song. I misunderstood your meaning. I'm sorry, but don't if I didn't misunderstand, never mind. I haven't played a song that passionately in ages. Thank you. I love you guys. Okay? Now, what was your answer to that, Ready?
First off, you skipped an important part there.
Okay. Well,
he said instead of writing 10 pages of angry
– mm-hmm.
He recorded this song.
Yes.
So then, I read that as, this is sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
But he was legitimately 10 pages worth of angry.
Uh-huh. Over a Counting Crows song.
Yeah.
Now,
I get it.
So this... So this includes Ready Rich writing stuff like, it seemed like, you know, we couldn't even manage to talk to girls. We were just thinking if we were rock stars, it'd be easier. Reddy Rich also wrote back to this guy after he wrote back, "This is, I'm really upset about this." You did. Reddy Rich wrote back, "You're not my real dad." He wrote back.
Clearly, Reddy Rich was not trained at Zappos on how to deal with customer service.
"Are you seriously trolling me now?" To which Reddy Rich wrote, "You wrote, 'I love you, I hate you,' to a crazy person. It's whatever you want it to be now. You tell me." And then he wrote back, "Crazy person is not an excuse." "I took the time to send a sincere message, and you easily could have ignored it, but instead you put forth the effort to respond rudely, but that's okay because you're a crazy person, right? I don't get the 'I hate you' part. I never said that." It goes on and on. And then it responds to Reddy saying, "I haven't responded yet. I guess I misread him right at the top." Yes, you did. Misread him right at the top. So please, I want to say you are completely right, Mike, and I understand. The only thing you're wrong about is when you write to questionpen@gmail.com, you're engaging in a conversation with Reddy Rich, and Reddy Rich may say things you don't understand.
Yes.
And that may be okay.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to understand every single thing that's going on here. So I was,
right,
fast,
I was completely right about one thing.
What's that?
He's not my real dad.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely 100% right. We had this up in Spokane.
Yeah.
We had this. We have our slot machine, which we have, is now come out in mechanical form. They put out slot machines first as big video contraptions, which has one joke in it that I really love. The our slot machine has a charger that you can put your phone in. And I had them. Just once in a while, it pops up, not all the time. When you put your thing in the charger, I come on and go, "Doesn't matter if you play the game or not, we have access to your phone." And then I say, "Hey, look, tell it, look at their pictures." So I thought that was wicked funny.
Yeah.
But we have that whole setup. And then after 2 years of a slot machine being out, they then put out a mechanical version. Mm. So there now is a mechanical version. You can go in and pull the handle. And in England, for those of you who don't know, in England, what we made was our own branded. We made our own, yeah. And now it's mechanical. And we've done these launches. And these launches are, people can come and meet us and take pictures and sign stuff. But they had, boy, did I love her. I just loved her. Up in Washington, they had a woman about my age who was in charge of slot promotion. And I mean the machines.
Right.
What do we call that in England? And she also was a member of the local magic club.
Oh, cool.
And she was there organizing the event, and she had a glitter top hat, and she had a little bow tie, and she had those little sleeves. And oh, cool. I was so startled at first because a person came up. We signed an autograph for them. They stood for a picture, and she went, "Hooray, Penn and Teller, isn't this fun?" And we went, "Yeah, this is great. This is great." And they got their picture and they went away. And the next person came up and they posed for the picture. And right as we signed it, she went, "Hooray, Penn and Teller, isn't this fun?" We looked at the line and there were about 250 people in line. And I think I would be struck dead on the spot if I said she did it every time. But all but three. There were three times. There was one time when a cow came up. It was a person from Ben and Jerry's. I mean, I don't want to give away the gag. I'm sorry. I gave away the whole thing. I said it was a person in a cow suit. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
It could have been a real anthropomorphic cow.
Or could have been a cow in a cow suit. What better way to sneak a cow into the casino?
Genius.
Right? You guys should put that in the show.
I've never seen someone please and displease Penn at such a rapid pace.
This is how I do.
It's an elephant.
Yeah.
But this cow represented...
But it could be a cow and a cow.
This cow represented Ben and Jerry. Why Ben and Jerry Boo?
We got a cease and desist on my birthday from Ben and Jerry.
Oh, you did?
Remember Ice Cream Social shut down? We read it at movie night.
Oh, that's right.
We read the whole cease and desist at movie night. It was
so
really
all
fun.
The scoops are anti-Ben and Jerry. Except when it comes to eating the stuff, because it's fucking good, right?
And they now have non-dairy Ben and Jerry.
They do.
Which is...
If they don't call it Ben and non-dairy, then they're fucking...
They're wrong. But, of course, I have been called Ben and Jerry many times. You know that.
Right.
We are called, hey, are you Ben of Ben and Jerry? They'll say to me. They also say, you're from that team, Ben and Stiller. We get that a lot.
I bet.
Are you in Ben and Stiller? Yes.
Sure.
But there was some activity around getting the cow to take a picture with us, so that stopped her from going, hooray, Penn and Teller, isn't this fun? And then there was another moment where some executives...
Teller immediately paid for 10 more cows to come by, just to get a break from that.
Teller and I kind of went, oh, okay. And by the 15th time, we were living for it. It was like oxygen. I mean, if someone had come up, it was heartbreaking when it didn't happen. And I just thought, man, maybe I need this in my whole life. Maybe I need some of everything I'm doing. And I take a sip of tea. Hey, Penn and Teller, isn't this fun? Take a sip of tea. She was just, you know, you realize that you're out in a casino.
Yeah.
You know. People are there. It is a leisure activity.
Yeah.
There's lights. There's sound. There's everything going around. Why not just yell, isn't this fun? Every 35 seconds
or so. So you would encourage casinos to hire more hype people, basically.
Yeah.
To just walk around like, yay, fun, slots.
Yeah.
Guys, free drinks sometimes. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your kids didn't really have to go to college. Woohoo! Make it back on the next roll, maybe.
Yay!
Hooray for chance.
Casino hype man.
Yeah.
That could be my next move.
It could be.
It sounds, when you're saying that, there's no way you can perceive that particular event could be done for that. It's a slot promotion, for slot machine promotion, for two guys that have been doing magic together 43 years. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nothing going on, and you cannot believe me that there was not the slightest homeopathic amount of cynicism in her. Not a bit. There was a guy with a slightly long mustache that was more ironic than her hat. There was no irony in her hat, no irony in her sleeves, no irony in her bow tie, no irony in her hooray. You know, and when's the last time people heard the word hooray with no irony? Maybe it's a word we lost.
We still have huzzah.
Huzzah?
Paul's laying it on thick.
So I open the oven door, and there's a clown. There's all in jokes. Can't possibly get them. We'll do another one of these for you people who are right here. We got a lot to talk about next time, but it's going to be the Wednesday show.
Yep.
We're doing that now. But for right now, that was Penn Sunday School. Cha-cha-cha. You become naked. I want to die with you, Wendy, on the street tonight in an everlasting kiss.
I want to die with you, Wendy, on the street tonight in an everlasting Heimlich maneuver.
A little high. know I love you.
Hey, everybody. Jason Ellis here from the Jason Ellis Show podcast, reminding you that my podcast, new episodes every Wednesday, downloadable where all podcasts are available. Come see my friends, Michael and Kevin, as we talk to you about what's awesome, what sucks, fitness, fighting, parenting, life, spin kicks, LGBTQ community, how to defend yourself against a shark if it attacks you out of nowhere, and much, much more. So come join us.
On holiday, there's nothing like doing nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight, so you can go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing for less. Expedia, made to travel.